This is Weekend All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Lisa Simeone is away. The 24 million people of Afghanistan have for years been subjected to the harsh fundamentalist regime of the Taliban. They are former religious students who came to power in 1996 when they defeated other warlords and a government that had torn Afghanistan apart. Barnett Rubin is one of the most senior U.S. experts on the Taliban. He says Afghanistan may not be a safe haven for Osama bin Laden because the Taliban's own coalition of some approximately 40,000 fighters is likely to splinter over the question of protecting him.
The Taliban had some popular support in southern Afghanistan originally. They still may because they suppressed rampant criminality, they opened the roads to trade, and things like that. But I think what we are starting to see now, according to reports that I am receiving from people in Afghanistan, is that many people in the Taliban, of course, did not sign up with them in order to destroy their country defending foreign terrorists who are very widely hated and despised in Afghanistan and have been so, by the way, for over a decade. So they are starting to make contact, I'm told, with members of the opposition, hoping to work something out with them in this entirely new situation.
Well, that brings up the question of just what, if any, relationship the Taliban has with bin Laden's group, Al-Qaeda. Have you been able to establish that?
Bin Laden is not only the head of Al-Qaeda, which is this transnational or international network of people, most of whom are not in Afghanistan, by the way, but are mostly actually in the West undercover. But he's also head of a fighting unit in Afghanistan, the 55th Brigade, which serves as a training ground for these members of Al-Qaeda that disperse all over the world. And that group, the 55th Brigade, has been the most combative unit of the Taliban, along with other units which are composed of Pakistanis who come to fight for the Taliban. By the way, the most underreported element of this crisis is the involvement of Pakistan with the Taliban and also with bin Laden.
Tell us how the Pakistan government has trained and aided and militarily and financially supported the Taliban.
The Taliban are integrated with Pakistan at absolutely every level. Mullah Omar, the head of the Taliban, was a teacher in a Pakistani madrasa in Karachi. That is where he originally met bin Laden. That madrasa and other affiliated madrasas in Pakistan have been supplying the Taliban with troops, up to a third of their troops, and much more combative than the Afghans, most of whom don't want to fight in this war. The Taliban's military effort could not go forward without Pakistani military advisors, without supplies that all come through Pakistan, because Afghanistan is a landlocked country. It is sustained economically by smuggling that goes from Afghanistan into Pakistan, and the administration of the border provinces has been participating in that smuggling. So really, the Taliban are a joint Afghan-Pakistani organization.
Do you think there will be huge pressure now on Pakistan by the U.S. and other governments to completely sever this relationship?
Well, that pressure is already there, and the main leadership in Pakistan has now apparently decided that they have to sever their direct relationship with bin Laden and with the top leadership of the Taliban in order to save Pakistan itself. However, the real danger now is that Pakistan is going around promoting various Afghan candidates for a new government who are sort of retreads from the past, other clients that they had from the war against the Soviet Union. It is extremely important that the Afghans decide on the new government of Afghanistan and that Pakistan has no part in making that decision.
Do you think the Afghan people can be separated from the Taliban and make alliances, even with the United States at this point?
The indications I have are that that will not be extremely difficult. The United Front in the north of the country, with certain specific types of military assistance and in collaboration with some U.S. and other allied action, perhaps, will be able to seize the capital. They have the legal political legitimacy because they control the UN seat and are internationally recognized. They are now collaborating very closely with the former king of Afghanistan in Rome, who represents the institutional and historical continuity of the Afghan nation going back to 1747. And if they work together, they will have a tremendous amount of support, especially if the Taliban lose their Arab Legion and their Pakistani Legion. They will find it extremely difficult to keep up the fight, in particular if supplies and other forms of advice from Pakistan are cut off. The real problem, in my opinion, is going to be in Pakistan itself, because there are many people who, for reasons which we should take seriously, by the way, and not just dismiss as terrorism, are very resentful against the United States and the Western world and will provide haven to people who may now have to escape from Afghanistan.
How large has the Taliban been at its most powerful point?
the Taliban established a state structure called the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, which had a very weak but extensive administrative structure over the whole country. If you are simply talking about the military, I have heard many different estimates from 15,000 to 40,000. I don't know, but most of these Afghan forces consist of a corps that is somewhat professionalized and then a lot of ragtag units that you cannot really rely on in serious battle. And for the Taliban, the most serious units in recent times were not actually Afghan. They were Arab and Pakistani, and those are the units that they may now be losing.
Well, Barnett Rubin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Jackie.
Barnett Rubin is a specialist on Afghanistan and a senior fellow at the Center on International Cooperation at New York University.